It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 684. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. The show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial, and you can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. Tonight's show, I have some stories from the trenches. I'm going to talk about work I did today on helping someone repair all their synchronization problems. And then big project tomorrow that my son's doing. And I'm going to go through the details of the system roulette. And I'll explain that's happening at a client where I'm going to help them remotely. And then going to talk about the uptick in system quotes and new systems and PCs. And boy, for the PC being dead, I sure have a lot of work happening for systems. And two emails, two tips from Dexter. And then I have a couple stories from Kevin, the computer doctor, that I'm going to share. I want to start off the first story tonight, or actually right before the show, a couple hours before tonight's show. I had a call last night from a client I hadn't heard from a while. She's a works from home physical therapist and set her up with her own domain years ago with GoDaddy and set her up with Exchange hosted on SureWeb and then had her get Office 365 because she's using it on two Macs. She has a MacBook, an iMac, and an iPhone. And everything synchronizing was beautiful with her mail, her calendar, and her contacts. Well, I didn't realize a few weeks ago she got a new iPhone and could not get it set up, which if she had called me, I would have done that in 5 minutes. Then she forgot her passwords for how to get into SureWeb for the admin account and for to be able to go in and manage the billing, which then leads you to the administrator panel to be able to do work, because she did not know that I had to remove a device, because you're only limited to three devices, not systems, but mobile devices. And I believe she also had an iPad. And so she must have done multiple iPhones, but those three devices were taken up. And we could not get in last night. She tried every password. As a matter of fact, she couldn't even get into her email on Outlook Web Access. And so I had no mechanism to reset the password if I can't get into the admin panel. And then there's no way to get it reset. It was late at night. So I said, call SureWeb in the morning and get these passwords reset. And then we'll reconvene Thursday afternoon and I will help you out. She did that. Gave me the password. I logged in. I reset her email password to what we agreed upon. Then I deleted all the devices except for the new iPhone that she has. Walked her through easily setting up the iPhone. Then used Instant House Call. Had her start a session with me on the iMac and then on the MacBook. And I don't know what happened, but things got messed up. It was easier for me to just create a new account within Outlook and everything just downloaded. All of her email, all of her contacts, all of her calendar, they're all downloading from the cloud. I created an appointment on the one Outlook calendar and it appeared on the other system and the phone. So complete synchronization. An instant house call on the latest version of the OS X. When you connect the first time, you must allow instant house call to have access. So they got to go into the security preferences. And once you do that and you hit the unlock on the Mac, you have to know your Mac password. It took her 7 tries for the Mac password. I'm like, this is crazy. She has no form of password management. And that's what the point here is. You have to have something, whether it's a password protected Word document or password protected Excel spreadsheet. There are many, many ways. There's password managers and other things that you could do to save passwords, even in an organized notebook securely kept at your house. Her password management, there was none. So that's something that I started talking to her about options on making sure the passwords. And I think her husband helped her one time and must have reset the password and didn't tell her. So there was lots of things happening. That's pretty much, you can't do anything without the password, and certainly on the Mac. This is a common problem where users don't have the passwords, and I don't like keeping them and managing them for them, especially non-retainer clients that I don't hear from for 5 years. That was the last time I helped this person. I looked up an old invoice. The last time I invoiced her was 2014. It's now 2019. So I can't be expected to remember and know all the changes that's happening if I'm not involved. So that's what made this easy fix very difficult to accomplish. I would love to hear how you handle this with clients, and what do you do? I try to secure some things. I keep notes and I try to protect and lock down some passwords, but I really only do that for my retainer clients. I don't do that for every client. It becomes a problem and things take longer as we have to go through password resets. Tomorrow, my son is going to my biggest account, the engineering department. A couple of the users are going to be off tomorrow, and they are both Windows 7. We have a newer system that was redone as part of another project, but a high-end engineering system that's already set up as Windows 10. We are going to replace the one engineer system. And that system is better than another engineer system. So then that system's going to be moved to him. And then his system is a lot older, but we're going to redo that as Windows 10. And that is going to get SolidWorks and actually move out into the shop, into the floor. So I put the plan together this afternoon and reviewed it with my son. And this is what's going to happen. One of the things we do when we get to a system like this that we're going to change out, he will log in and take a snippet of the Malwarebytes key and any software that has to be deactivated. And right now it's only the Malwarebytes. So he will take a snapshot of that license, deactivate it, then run SIW, save that gets us all the settings and everything, the latest. And then in the password section of SIW, you can't export or save them. So we take snippets of those screens and save them for ourselves, because there's email passwords in there. There's maybe websites that user may have forgotten or may need. And then we have them. We take those password snippets. Now he shuts down the system. He will take out the hard drive. This particular system has an SSD. He'll put a new SSD in there. That will be moved to get Windows 10 installed for the other engineer. He will slide in the new system that's waiting there, that's already Windows 10. He will turn that on, activate Malwarebytes, activate instant house call unattended mode. he will put Fab's Auto Backup 7 Pro in a directory off the C drive. He will take the hard drive that was out of that other computer, connect it to a cable, connect it to the USB 3 port, and then text me and say, Dad, the system's ready for you. I will then log in and I will say, I will corporatize the system, making it the name that I want to make it for the company. I will change the admin password for us that we have for managing the systems. And then I will run Fabs and control the movement of all of the settings into the computer. While I'm doing that, he's doing a fresh, clean Windows 10 install on the system that we just took from there for the next engineer. So he's got the same list for that other engineer. He's got to go in, take the picture of the key for Malwarebytes, deactivate, run SIW, do all that. Then take that hard drive out. Now, that's a mechanical drive, so he'll have a docking station with him. Now, that system is the older system that's going to go on the shop floor. That will get an SSD, and he will then hook that up to begin Windows 10 installing on that, because these were all Windows 7 systems. So when I finish Fabs on the one, he will have hopefully finished or be pretty close to Windows 10. Now, when Windows 10 is done installing, we immediately pause updates. Then we get Office installed for the company, the Office that they use. And then he goes nine night. And then he will get Instant House Call Unattended running. He'll activate Malwarebytes and then text me and say, Dad, this system's ready for Fabs. And then I'll remote in and start doing Fabs on that while he begins installing Windows 10 on the third computer. That's tomorrow morning. While at the same time I'm doing this remotely, I have appointments scheduled. This is a complicated story. For this particular client, I had to archive a lot of email from a few years ago into many PSTs. This was a company in New York that was dissolving, that the person is now in this area, and it's complicated, but I have to attach 10 or 15 PSTs because we're looking for some particular email. I'm going to be helping someone remotely with that. We have all the PSTs, and now I'm going to connect them and show the user how to connect it and then how to search and look for the email that they're looking for. And I know it's there. It's just we're not sure which PST it's in. Then I have my bookkeeper coming out, where I just moved to QuickBooks Online, and he's going to get me connected to the two bank accounts coming down. I have that happening. I have a doctor's office that I have an appointment to remote in to help them with a couple things that they want, some new email accounts and some other stuff. So I have like a 2 o'clock appointment for there. The COO of my biggest client works part-time for that client. Matter of fact, he's retired. So he's like the acting COO for a while. And he's got some Mac issues with his wife's Mac. And so we have time scheduled. You should see my schedule tomorrow. It's booked the whole day with work while I'm doing the remote work helping my son while he's on site. So we're pretty busy tomorrow. And I wanted to outline that procedure where I am using everything I talk about. Fabs, SIW, I love that. That's system information for Windows. I'll make sure there's a link for that in the show notes. Instant House Call, unattended mode. These are the things, Malwarebytes running on all the systems. These are all the things that I preach and I use almost definitely on a daily basis. Also, I'm waiting to hear back. We just finished three systems today, two for one of my regular dental offices and another one for a property management company that I am downgrading from Active Directory to a Windows 10 peer server. Yes, you heard me correctly, because their system is going to be out of compliance in 2020. They don't need this expensive server. It's just a file share. They don't need an expensive server and an expensive server operating system to support when I can downgrade it to a peer server for just QuickBooks and some file sharing. That's it. We're putting a really nice Dell Optiplex together with some large solid-state drives, so the performance is going to take off in terms of the file access. So I have that happening, and those systems got configured today. Quotes for an insurance agency, one of my regular clients, they're just doing a whole revamp of their office. It's a small office, but voice over IP, we're going from the regular phone system, or replacing desktops. The owner wants their own laptop. And we're also finally, after years and years and years of them having this simple pop email, we're going to go to hosted Exchange on Sherweb. As a matter of fact, I have another big client that has just had it with their email provider. And they've heard me talk about Sherweb so much and what the value of hosted Exchange, they're converting. So there'll be some stories down the road. Lots of stuff happening. Been extremely busy. I'm also waiting for a new dental office, a quote on multiple systems, and then of all companies, an exotic bird food distributor on all new systems for them. Still waiting to hear back, having a go for those proposals I have out for new systems. I have two emails. One is from Dexter, who's in the chat, who sent me a couple great tips for the show. First one, how to get a PC name if the domain joined and need to log in to the local account. Do a Control-Alt-Delete. Then in the name, put --. I got to try that. The second tip is something that I talked about. A problem I ran into with a newer system that was Windows 10 Home, and I wanted to put Pro on it, but the media creation tool wouldn't let me. And then I had some links to some articles. He outlined what to do. I'm going to mention it now, and I'm also going to create a text file that has this exactly so you don't have to remember it. You have to create two text files. A file called ei.cfg. Then you have to have a Windows 10 Pro key that's going to work, that's unused and legitimate. Then there is the sections for this is edition ID in brackets, then professional, the word, and then channel in brackets, and then OEM. And again, I'm going to have this listed out exactly how you would type it. Then there's another file where you're just going to have PID.txt. And in there, you have PID in brackets and then value equals, and it's going to be the actual key that you want for Windows 10 Pro. You copy both files to the source folder on the flash drive that you're going to use to install. I am going to absolutely do this on the next home system that I run into, that I'm doing Windows 10 Pro from scratch. The problem is it won't let you do it. This is a bad design of the media creation tool when you create your install USB stick. If in the BIOS or on the motherboard somewhere there's the key built in for whatever version of Windows, the software sees that, and then that's what it installs, and you don't get the menu. Now, if you're on an older system, a system that doesn't have that built in, pre-Windows 8, what's going to happen, you get a menu, and you can pick, hey, I want Windows 10 Home, I want Windows 10 Pro. So that's the thing. It looks to the BIOS first, and then it will, and if it sees a key, that's it. It runs with that, and it installs whatever that key's for. Now, that's nice if you want it to be, like if it's Windows 8.1 that's home, that's great if you want Windows 10 home. But what if I want Windows 10 Pro? And that's where you'd have to follow this tip. I want to thank Dexter for sending me that. Got a big email here from Kevin, the computer doctor, on two stories. And the first is, beware SmartBite on Dells. Hi, Mike. I wanted to share with your listeners a story. We recently had a customer come to us after having gone through two local computer guys, Comcast support, Dell's concierge support, who enlisted some form of Microsoft support, trying to resolve a problem with her Outlook. When she tried to send an email, she'd get an almost instant Outlook error saying something like can't send error 08X0000CCC, whatever, contact your admin. This was a new high-end Dell Inspiron laptop, and she had Outlook 2016 installed and set up by one of her prior IT guys. They could get her Comcast and Gmail set up and receiving in Outlook, but not sending. They spent many hours trying to sort it out and couldn't figure it out. After she tried the other IT guy, Comcast and Dell support services, she heard our name from a neighbor. She called up, told me of all the hours spent trying to resolve this, and was just about to give up before she found out about us. She asked if we could resolve this, and I said, of course. We scheduled the remote appointment and had a bunch of trouble getting connected. We tried our normal splash top, and while it would download, it wouldn't fully launch. So I asked her to try TeamViewer, and it would launch, but wouldn't connect back to TeamViewer, and gave her a code or password to give to me. It said, not ready. Check your internet connection. So I sent her a link to download and run our SolarWinds RMM agent, and that worked and allowed us to remote in. So right away, I'm thinking something's blocking stuff, and Outlook and TeamViewer are just symptoms. Now that I'm remoted in, and after trying a handful of obvious things like making sure Outlook is actually set up right, passwords and server settings are correct, I started down the path of figuring out why it's blocked from sending. I tried disabling Norton and the firewall before turning to msconfig. I went into msconfig and disabled basically everything except Microsoft services from starting up. So through a long process of elimination of msconfig checks and restarts, we narrowed it down to a piece of software that Dell installs called SmartBite Drivers and Services. I did a little research and found no shortage of people super mad at Dell for all kinds of problems with this crapware. Everything from not being able to run World of Warcraft or similar games to very poor internet speeds while the service is on and running. We disabled the service and showed the client and encouraged her to call Dell's concierge service back and show them and demand some kind of reimbursement for our invoice. So other IT techs, be aware of this POS software Dell's installing and the odd complications that can come with it. Thank you for sharing that. I really, really like that. Now, he continues with another story, and I'm going to go for it here. I have another Dell story. We recently had a new customer with a Dell Latitude laptop under warranty having stability troubles. They told us that there may have been some liquid damaged. We get the computer and verified it can boot but was not stable. We contacted Dell's warranty support and opened a ticket to ship it. Before we shipped it off, I cracked open the cover to pull the hard drive and make an image of it. Upon opening it up, I found that it had an M2 SSD. And while I do have the PCI card adapter and can connect it to a recovery machine, it's easier to simply boot into our image software, and that's ECS to do backup, and create an image of the hard drive and save to a connected USB. I then ship the computer off to Dell, and they tell us that it does have liquid damage. The motherboard, keyboard, and palm rest need to be replaced, and it's $360 to fix it. The customer approves it, and we get the repaired computer back a few days later. We, of course, fire it up to see if we have to restore from our image and find that there is no drive of any kind installed. We contacted our Dell service manager handling the case, and he tells us there was no drive present when it was shipped in. I, of course, know that was wrong, as I personally not only handled the imaging as described above, I also shipped the computer myself. So after several days of round and round and things getting escalated and Dell still insisting the drive wasn't present, I put a new M2 into the laptop, restored from backup, and got the computer back to the customer. Eventually, Dell did ship us a new empty M2 SSD, but very reluctantly, and still insisting they didn't get a drive when they opened the computer. Ultimately, I don't think there is anything more we could have done before shipping the system out. Even a picture of the system board or an inventory list would have resulted in the same R word versus Dell repair text word. I'm curious if anyone else has ever been through something like this and how they may have learned and adapted their practices since. Thanks, Kevin. Great story. I don't take an image of every system like that. And that you had the foresight to take an image of that system was tremendous. And that means a tech would have opened up the system and stole the M2 drive? Wow, I'm surprised that, but then again, nothing should surprise me. That is it for tonight's show. The best way for you to support the show is to use our Amazon link. And I say our, Carrie Holzman and myself share an Amazon link that's in the show notes. You click on that link before you add anything to your cart, and then as you are in that session, after you click on our link, whatever you buy, we will get a small commission. Your price stays the same, but that commission really adds up. And the more of you that do this really helps Carrie, myself, Tech Vets, and the Mike Tech Show. So we really appreciate your continued usage of that link. Also, Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. I'm an affiliate. You heard me talk about it. That is really the essence, an instant house call for all of my work tomorrow and what my son's going to be doing with all of those systems and reinstalling, getting Windows 10 freshly installed and transferring all of the Windows 7 settings. It's going to be Fabs, and I'm going to be doing it remotely using instant house call. That's it for tonight's show. I hope to see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.